those little ones go. Not that I don't like them, but I love to hear them go. Better make that clear, right? Lots of times we're misunderstood, but I want to welcome each of you today. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Philippians. Philippians, the third chapter, will be today. And I want to read that scripture, and then we'll ask God to speak to our hearts. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the church at Philippi and speaking a bit about his own life here, this chapter is just amazing, verse 7 and right on through. I'm picking it up in verse 12 here. Let me start in verse 10, actually. This is his heart, that I may know him, speaking of Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect or mature, but I press on, or fully mature there, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which I also am laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Loving Father, we thank you for this moment in time. We thank you that we've had an opportunity to sing your praises. You are worthy of our praise. We thank you for the issues of life that come our way and that you're there in the middle of each of those, waiting for us to pray, to look to you. And thank you that you provide the grace for each challenge, each situation we face. Thank you for the joys that come our way. I thank you for this last year, how you've moved in our people here. You've grown people. You've saved people. You've been so faithful to take us through the ups and downs of what it is to live on this side of heaven. Thank you for the hope that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is seated at your right hand today in a position of authority and power, having completed what was needed for our salvation. I thank you that he's coming again one day to receive to himself the church, that he will be presented to you without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Thank you for the joy that we have of you being with us. Father, we come to you today. We have a text before us that is certainly something that I believe can be of great help to us. You know us like no one else does. I thank you that you continue to love us, that you are there always with arms wide open, ready to receive us back if we will turn to you. Thank you that you're that kind of a God. I thank you, Father, for each one that are before you right here, right now. And I pray that you would do only that which you can do. Open our hearts. Let us see ourselves and see Christ. I'm reminded of what Jeremiah the prophet said about your word, because we're about to begin to discuss it. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that shatters rock? Father, we need you to break through into our hearts. I pray, Father, for the listener, that they would hear what they need to hear. Thank you that we can start anew and afresh with you. Thank you that you don't say, well, that's it. You've messed up too much. You're no longer my child. Thank you that you're always there to receive us when we come in repentance. Father, we thank you for a new year. Thank you for a time when we can really think about dedicating ourselves again and anew and afresh to you. Thank you for those mercies that are new every morning. I thank you for the opportunities that are set before us until the Lord comes or you call us home. And Father, I pray you'll work now. Bless the people as they hear. Father, make my mind sharp and my words what they ought to be in order to proclaim you as they should. We ask you that your Spirit would move in a powerful way. For your glory and the good of your people, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. One of the joys of knowing Jesus Christ and following Him is knowing others that are doing the same. There's a real encouragement to my heart when I see that. We are the family of God, and we run this race of faith in Christ and through His power. And we get to observe others. We get to do it ourselves. I want you to know that I've been positively impacted by others who have kept pressing on in their lives, seeking Christ for the glory of God. Through thick and thin, through joy and heartache, there's blessing that comes to us from others as we observe them that never give up, those people that keep looking to the Lord. Well, there's good reason for this. As followers of Christ, as those who continually receive and are empowered by His abundant grace in time of need, those who are secured and our futures are just that, as citizens of heaven, we are to pursue the Lord and to become more like Him. We have every reason to do that. I don't know what this past year looked like for each of you. I know some of your stories and some of the things you've gone to. Here's the neat thing about the Christian life, is that God uses whatever comes along if we'll respond as we should to make us more like Jesus. And that's exactly what Romans 8:29 says. When I think of this passage here in Philippians, I think of the Apostle Paul's life and how he'd been through so many ups and downs. But he talks about those who he foreknew, that is, those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's part of God saving us, is to bring us to the point and continually work in us that we become more like Christ. The Apostle Paul has said something very impressive here to me in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it, or I have already become perfect, or mature to a point that I don't need to grow anymore. It's an amazing statement he makes. God has predetermined that we, as citizens of heaven, would pursue His Son and become more like Him. I don't know what your goals are in life. I don't know what your goals would be in this coming year. But there should be no goal higher than to know Christ and become more like Him. I believe in this scripture, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. What he longed for was to become more like his Savior. And that was the one overriding goal of his Christian life. That's really what it was. We're about to step into a new year. Can hardly believe that. 2018, it's nearly in the books. And again, I think we can all look back and say there were ups and downs, heartaches, and hopefully great joys in that. But with a new year comes new opportunities to see our Lord work in us and through us in every situation we face. I hope in this coming year, you'll be faithful in pressing on with the Lord, and that your desire would be to be more like my Master. There's a number of things here. If we're going to press on, I believe it'll begin with a right evaluation. Look at verses 12 and 13 with me here. By the way, there's notes on the back of your bulletin. If you're a note taker, there you go. A right evaluation here. He's just real with his thoughts here. He says, not that I have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I am laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I press on. I want to just say here, you know, for each of us, we need to be real, okay? We just need to be honest. It's a difficult task to properly evaluate ourselves. I think others often can help us do that. There's blind spots, I think, for each of us. But here's where the Word of God is just precious. What Paul does here is helpful. He doesn't get into precise detail, but he gives an overall view of his spiritual condition. He says, in essence, I haven't yet arrived to a place of complete maturity where I don't need to grow anymore at this point. That's an amazing, amazing statement to me, considering this great apostle. He's saying, I need to grow. I'm not yet done growing. I'm not yet done pursuing. I need to make sure that I'm pressing on toward Christ. So be real. That's what I want to just start out with. You know what? We can fool others, right? We can fool others. There can be a lifetime of that going on in us. We can do that. I believe there are many that have done that, perhaps are today. But you'll never fool God. And if you'll allow yourself to look into the Word and ask the Spirit of God to reveal to you right where you're at, I believe He'll do that. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here, is be real. So if you're going to press on in this next year, desiring to become more like Christ, you're going to have to be real right here, right now. And he begins there. There's this humility about him. He just says, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at. Where are you today? That's the question, right? Where am I in regard to my relationship to God through Jesus Christ? That's the question. That's the question. And there are areas, I believe, that we sometimes can be spiritually blind to. But where do I need to grow? Maybe I find myself worrying all the time. Everything just concerns me and consumes me. If so, I need to remind myself that worry is a sinful response to God's ability to care and provide and help me. I need to move from worry to trust. I'm just saying, be real. Be honest. What's going on in your mind? What are you thinking about? How are you thinking toward others? We could go on, right? I think you get the picture. Be real. Now, I'm going to say something next that's going to surprise you a bit. When you read this next part of this text, I think our minds automatically go somewhere, and I'll tell you that. He says, verse 13, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Press on toward the goal. So I want to say to you, be forgetful. Boy, I did this so well when I was young and growing up, and I had a chore to do. I don't remember you saying that, Dad. I forgot, Mom, right? Be forgetful. Most of the time, the admonition in the Scripture is to what? Remember. It's almost always remember, remember. We read it often because we forget so quickly, right? And God's Word is there to remind us, to remind us, to remind us. Here, you're not going to find this much. I didn't look to see if it was anyplace else in the Word, but you don't find it much. Be forgetful. Be forgetful. And I'm going to say this two ways. The first may surprise you a bit, but I think it's really important. Be forgetful about past accomplishments. Now, I want to make sure I'm clear here. Not that we never look back and praise God for what He's done. That's not what I'm talking about. There are believers who God has powerfully used in the past. And that's a wonderful experience to be used of God in some way. Maybe to help someone, to bring clarity perhaps to a situation. Maybe it was giving an encouraging word to a hurting brother or sister desperate in need to hear just that. Perhaps they were used in leading someone to faith in Christ. Those are wonderful things, amazing. You see the power of God in someone's life doing that, and we praise God. But listen, no one can stay there. If you find yourself looking back, and God has used you in a powerful way, praise God, but don't just stop and stay there. You need to move on from that as well. There are Christians I have talked to who have been used powerfully back there and who never go forward then with Christ any further. That's just a shame. Let me say it this way. If you were a college student and went through your freshman year and your grade point average was 3.5, pretty good, right? Right? I don't know. Okay, a 4.0 if that makes you feel better. And you stepped into your sophomore year and you said, wow, I had a 4.0. I don't need to do any of this. That's not going to get you very far. I'm just saying this. It's not that we forget some powerful things and some wonderful works that God has done, and we speak to those. But God has, if you're here, if you're alive, if blood is pumping through your veins, He's not done with you yet. Keep pressing on with Him. Secondly, and I think this is really where our minds go, is past failures. Past failures. We all have those. We do. There are those past failures. Whatever lies back there, when it comes to failures, we need to get it right move from it and move on and seek the Lord and press on with Him. It may be impossible. I can think of some past failures in my life that I have not forgotten, and I believe I will not forget until, well, I'll take in my grave with me. But here's the thing. I can't allow that to impact me in negative ways. I can repent. I have seek God's forgiveness, be assured that I have it, move forward in growing in Christ and becoming more like Him. Next week, we're going to jump right back into 1 Peter. The guy that wrote that book, the Apostle Peter, had tremendous failure in his life. He could look back and say something few could. I denied knowing Christ right when He needed me most. But Jesus restored him. And he went forward for the glory of God. You will find, if you look in Scripture, that it's all over there. God paints the saints, warts and all. We see them there. We can be assured, though, if we've turned to Him, if we've called it what it is, if we've sought His forgiveness, confessed it to Him, that He really has forgiven us. And it's time to move. Time to move forward. You may have to recite again and again, time after time, the truths that God has certainly forgiven you. Remember this. There's amazing grace for you and I to move forward in this race of faith as a Christian in order to win the prize. God would not have you wallow in past failures. The devil would. He certainly would. The accuser of the brethren, the liar of all liars, the one who Jesus said was a murderer from the beginning, he will remind you of your past sin and tell you there is no hope to ever walk with God or be used by Him again. That is a lie straight out of hell, because we have a God who's gracious and forgives. Our God is for those who have failed. He is. It's a beautiful text here in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindnesses are His mercies indeed never cease, never cease, and for His compassions never fail. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. Those compassions, those mercies, they are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. So, think of that. I get up in the morning. There are some, you know, for the most part, people arise in the morning. For the most part, there are those that work night shifts and so forth. It's different. But every day, I can put my feet next to my bed and have abundant daily bread, grace, and mercy from God. I can start anew every day. I praise God for that. Just think if that were not true. Just think if your sins were not forgiven and your failures stacked up and you were just set aside as the devil would have you to believe. Well, there's not much hope then in the Christian life, is there? New every day. This next verse, I want to get to I think this is what I want. That's not what I want. I wanted one from James 4 that said, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Sorry about that. I've got the wrong text up there. Let me look. James 4. I think it's verse 8. You can write that down. 4:8. Draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. What an amazing thing. You know, if you're headed this way on a path of destruction and sin, you can turn in a moment, and guess who's there? God is. He's waiting. Arms wide open to restore, take us back. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. I find that promise amazing. Boy, does that encourage me. How many of us have a newspaper from years past? Okay? 1979, whatever date. You got a newspaper. And you have kept that thing. And every morning you get up and you read that. Oh, we went to the moon. I know it wasn't 79, whatever year. We went to the moon. And the next day you get up and you read it again. We went to the moon. And the next day, same paper, you read it and read it. If you do that, we'd say you're crazy. You're living in a place that is not reality. Listen, if you're staying back there with your past failures and saying, God, I'm worthless, I can't be used, that's not the reality of what the Scripture says. I want to just walk quickly with you through some verses that really speak of the forgiveness of God. You know, when I think about God and I think about the fact that He does forgive, it really helps me to see it in black and white. Here it is. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west. This is so beautiful. Those points never meet. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hang on to that. I have to tell you. I'm just going to tell you something. When I think of forgiveness, I think, and we're going to get there to Ephesians 1:7. I have a study Bible. I have a different Bible I preach out. In my study Bible, I have a ton of notes. And I got a cheat sheet in Ephesians 1:7 because I always remember that text. And these are some of the scriptures that are listed next to it. You know why? Because I want to rehearse this truth in my mind. Because if I allow myself to dwell in that place of failure, I'll never get anywhere. It's not got where God wants me. Isaiah 43:25. I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Is that not pure grace and beauty? It's amazing that God would do that for us. Ephesians 1:7. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood. What? The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, verse 8 says, which He has lavished on us. Beautiful. Colossians 1:13-14. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. That's what happens when we come to faith in Christ. We're rescued from Satan's grip, the domain of darkness. We're transferred to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have what? The redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins, it's there. It's ours for the taking. One more out of chapter 2. When you were dead in your transgressions, Colossians 2:13, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him. That's with Christ. Having what? Forgiven us all our transgressions. Praise God. Praise God. It's there. It's there. So, brothers and sisters, in Christ we're fully forgiven. You cannot allow your past to determine today or your future. Because in Christ, your sins have been forgiven. You press on in loving and serving Him. So it begins there with the right, really with the right evaluation. And secondly, I want to talk to you about the right attitude. Look at verse 12 again. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. I press on that I may lay hold of that which I've been laid hold of by Christ. And then verse 14, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the word goal there in verse 14 refers to a target or a goal that the apostle had in mind. And the word prize refers to the reward one receives for reaching that goal. Paul was goal-oriented as a follower of Christ, but his goals were focused on the eternal. They were focused on the glory of the Lord. And he says here, press on. That's what I do. I press on. And that means to pursue, to press hard after, to pursue with earnestness and diligence in order to obtain. You know, there are things we do pursue in life. Here, we need to think about, I want to pursue the Lord. Paul says he's pressing on. It means that he's pursuing earnestly a life and that brings honor to the Lord. He desires to obtain a reward, to hear the Lord say, well done. The apostle said it so well in this text. He's at the end of his life and he's looking back now. By the way, we'll all get there one day, right? And what that looks like is determined by what's happening in us today. Paul says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. He's looking at death right square in the eyes. It's the last book he wrote, 2 Timothy. By the way, a drink offering, that was something that was brought to the priest. It could be grain, it could be oil, it could be wine, and that was handed off to the priest. And the priest did the pouring out. Paul says, I'm being poured out. And he's saying, my life isn't in my hands at all. It's in the Lord's hands. I'm like that offering being poured out. He loved to be there. That's where he wanted to be. He says, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. That's what his life was. That's quite a Christian life. And it is a wrestling match. We are soldiers of the cross. Let's not forget, we are in spiritual warfare big time. But then he says this, in the future there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. You know, Paul says, I'm going to be face to face with Jesus one day. I'll see people get really excited about meeting someone famous. I think we all do. What a day that'll be. I'll be face to face with him. He says, the righteous judge, he will award to me on that day, and not only to me, we're included here, but also all who have loved his appearing. Paul says there's going to be a day when I stand before the Lord. Press on. Brothers and sisters, press on. Before you know it, right? Some of you can't believe how old you are, how fast time has gone. I join you in that. It's just flying by. 2019. You'll be writing that for long. 2019. Press on, though. Time's short. Live life to hear well done from Him, to receive reward from Him. And I would say if you're going to do that, you need to be consistent. If one's attitude is on becoming more like Christ by pressing on, the consistent, relentless pursuit of Him, then there will be a consistency to that pursuit. There really will be. Paul says here, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And there's our effort, friend. You know, and Christian maturity doesn't just happen. We wish it would, right? Wouldn't that be neat to look back and say, you know, the point I got saved, at that point, I fully understood the Scripture and the Christian life, and my response to every trial and temptation and every heartache, it was spot on. That would be nice, but that's not reality. You and I, there is grace for us, friends. God gives grace for us to walk as we should walk. But there's also our responsibility, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. You know, it's shocking to me. I have to say this. It's a little bit shocking to me when I sometimes ask people about their prayer life or their time in the Scripture. We're in a relationship with God. Why would we ever go a day without hearing from Him? If I treated my wife that way, that's not gonna work. And friends, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for a dark day when you don't allow God to speak to you. Be consistent. It's a discipline. We discipline ourselves, and there's discipline in our lives. And so, the most undisciplined person, they are disciplined in some way. They have that in their life. So I want to encourage you, maybe jab you a little bit, to be in the Word, okay? Let's finish with the right perspective here. It's to win the prize. And I would say here, just keep on. Having set the goal of becoming more like Christ, by the way, you can just look back in this text. Joseph shared an amazing song with us, especially music. And it really comes from verse 10. Apostle Paul says, that I may know Him. That was his one. He wanted to know Christ. And, you know, this is inexhaustible. I remember one year this text really, that verse 10 really spoke to me. I said, Lord, this year, I want to know more. I want to grow deeper. I want to understand more. And so if I'm going to do that, if that's going to happen, I have to keep on. If I'm going to pursue Him, keep on. He was looking forward to the day when he would see Jesus. Have the right perspective here. He says in verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect or mature, have this attitude. And if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living. Let's keep living by the same standard which we have obtained. Keep living. Keep moving on. Keep on. Keep pressing on. Don't give up. God hasn't given up on you. But keep moving forward with Him. Friend, you will see Him. We will, as believers, we'll see Him face to face one day. Wow, what a day that will be. Keep pressing on that you may hear, 'Well done, thy good and faithful servant.'" That's the one thing. The one thing that matters. That's the one thing I want to hear. Well done. Well done. I'll never get there if I keep going back and living in the past. I won't get there if I don't have the right attitude of pressing on and being consistent. And he finishes there in verse 16. He talks about keep living by that same standard to which we have obtained. And I want to say, do remember this. Remember this. We are in Christ. We are in Christ. And we need to remember that in Christ, we are victors. The victory is ours. Our faith has overcome the world. It is. 1 Corinthians 15:57. "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We're victors in Him with room to spare. We have been granted a citizenship in heaven. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, fully forgiven, set free from the wages of sin. We have an abundant life in Him, because if the Son will set you free, you'll be free indeed. So remember this. Keep living to what we are in Christ. I'm a child of the Holy God. I have been fully forgiven, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm His. He intercedes for me. Keep living up to who you are in Christ. Certainly, life can shake us at times. But do you realize that Jesus is still on the throne? No matter what happens in your life, He's still at the right hand of the Father, at a position, an exalted position of power and authority. Nothing can change that. Press on, my beloved. Press on. The glorious future that Paul had in Christ motivated him. He wanted to press on for the prize. Some believe that this is to be self-serving, that I would live in such a way as to store up treasure in heaven. Not true. Jesus called us to that. "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth." Good word for us, isn't it? This is all going to be gone. We need to remember that. Don't do it, because moth and rust does destroy those things, and where thieves can break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We had an interesting morning, Friday morning here. Came into the office, and Pastor Wes was there, and we chatted a minute, and I noticed it was quite cool in the office. Actually, it was 56 degrees. Well, that's not bad if you're moving around, but if you're sitting in a chair behind a desk, that's not the most comfortable. And we both commented on it. And said, "Well, let's turn the heat up some." So we turned the heat up. About an hour later, Pastor West stepped in my office and said, "Man, I need to get a cup of coffee. Got a Keurig there." I said, "It is really cold still." And I said, "Man, it is. I just realized, you know, my legs are cold, my backside's cold, my feet are cold. I got to go out there and see what's going on." So I stepped out. I could hear something running, and the air conditioner was running, and the temperature had gone from 56 to 55. Well, my mama didn't raise no fool. I knew something had to be done, right? Analyzing the situation. Air conditioner's running, thermostat's not. Okay. Go do a reset. That's what we have to do. That thing is kind of a weird setup. I don't know why it does what it does sometimes. Just had to do a reset. Start to shut the furnace off. It's like rebooting your computer. I don't know why it works that way. But that's what happened. Restarted it, and it began to function as it should. Taking stock in where you are at in your walk with Christ may call for a reset today. If it does, brother, sister, move toward Him. Repent of your sin. Enter in this new year with the past in the past and press on for Christ. You know, I really believe we need times of refreshing. I believe that's why we read what we read in Lamentations 3. His mercies are new every morning. We need times of rededication and starting over. Today I want to give you that opportunity with God. I don't know what this past year looked like, this past month, this past week, your past life. But you're going to enter a new year. Why not go in with a clean slate, a solid goal, living up to the potential in Christ that is laid before you and that you have, pressing on for the prize. Our days are short. No matter how long you live, one needs to make the most of their days. We make the most of our days by keeping ourselves where we need to be with the Lord and getting things right when we need to. It may be that this morning you hear this and you're like, yeah, God's been pressing me for a while in this area. And I look at my life and I know there's areas that just are not right. And I've just been slack. Friend, set yourself free. Confess it. Move on. Don't stay there. I would encourage you in that way. Here it is. Press on in your pursuit of Christ. Press on in your pursuit of Christ. You do that. Let's pray. Loving Father, you know the hearts of the people that are before you now more than they know themselves, more than we know ourselves. And perhaps, Father, as we've gone through this scripture, in these thoughts, that there are some that would say, you know, I need to get right with God right now. I see my sin and I'm confessing it, and Father, move them to that place. I pray that you would not allow the devil an inch here. Perhaps there's someone here who's really made some bad decisions, and those decisions have just held them back. And they see him for what they are. Let them call him what they, let them own their sin before you and take it to you and confess of it and be restored. Father, we would give you glory for that. Maybe there's someone here today that have yet to trust Christ as Savior, and they've done a lot of things and think they're okay, and yet their sin's wages says separation. Father, I pray you'd allow them to see the finished work of Christ, and that by placing their faith in Him, what He's done on their behalf, they might be redeemed in this moment. Bless your people, Father, abundantly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we close out this morning and sing.